Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
I thought Jhené's hair being on fire last week would be the hottest this studio got, literal temperature-wise. It is a whole new level right now. Full-on anarchy in the last break around here.
I guess that's consistent now because these are 2 days in a row in which it's anarchy.
That is true.
And you know what's funny? It all starts with Cliff.
We are finding that patient zero in all of these conversations is Cliff. Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the show, Penzoil Performance Line. I have serious questions that I want to get to in the NBA because what we saw from Russell Westbrook yesterday is something to me I don't know, and Jhené, I'll end up leaning on you on this one. As we get to a former MVP who we still consider to be probably in the prime of his basketball playing career, who was an absolute liability on the court for his team. Like, I couldn't believe that the Rockets put Russell Westbrook back into that game in the fourth quarter when things were tight, where he was defensively, offensively, and all of these things. But the anarchy that's erupted in here, Jhené, around the conversation around ranch dressing, I don't understand it. Jhené, I need to know, pro or anti-ranch, where do you fall? Because I've seen way too much ranch slander on my timeline lately, and I just need to know who I'm working with.
The last just stop, you're funny. The last few weeks we've talked about wings quite a bit, starting with Lou Will transitioning to, I don't even know, the boneless debacle, where they're not, I guess, boneless wings, they're more chicken nuggets.
I can let you know actually on that one.
We rename boneless wings in the city of Lincoln. We can call them buffalo style chicken tenders. We can call them wet tenders. We can call them saucy nugs or trash.
Any of those names.
Yeah, any of those work. And I think the boneless ones are trash, but I ordered bone-in recently, and you guys saw that I have weird dietary habits in the morning where I don't really eat breakfast, so I eat wings. And anytime I order wings, the condiment I choose for the wings is ranch. That is the universal, widely accepted extra condiment. The same way ketchup for your fries, it's ranch for your wings. I don't know why this is so complicated. I feel like that's a vibe, right? We're speaking the same language here.
Ranch is the universal, as you said, it's a gateway condiment. It allows everyone in. It welcomes it in. It, to quote Ed Sheeran, it takes you in with its love and arms in this situation. And so what I've noticed, Jhené, is that when it comes to ranch people generally tend to be accepting. If I'm out and someone chooses something different, like, I don't know, blue cheese for their wings, I'm not going to sit there in judgment of them because I understand we're all children of God who choose to dress our wings in different ways.
Yes.
But the blue cheese crowd and Cliff, our very own board Cliff, is like apparently commander of the blue cheese crowd, sits over here casting judgment every time he sees someone order ranch for their wings. Cliff, how do you plead?
Listen, I think it's criminal that with blue cheese available to eat wings with, that someone would knowingly choose ranch over blue cheese. It makes no sense. Like, those beautiful chunks of cheese inside the dipping sauce, and then you eat like a lemon pepper wing or like a buffalo wing with it. I can't believe that someone would go basic and you can eat ranch. Yes,
whoa,
basic.
Whoa,
it is very
whoa,
basic.
So now we're basic people. The thing
No.
Cliff,
ranch is a basic condiment.
Cliff. Remember your history. When you started off, you were a ranch eater. And you were so consistently using ranch on your wings that you're like, I need something else. It started tasting like water to you, probably. So now you shifted to something stronger. Something a little different in consistency and texture. You leveled up to blue cheese.
You know what I did today?
Don't forget your history and your elders and your ancestors that all started with ranch. That is the foundation they laid for you to run with blue cheese.
Ranch, yeah. Ranch walked so that every other condiment could run.
That is very true. But you know what you do after ranch? You grow up and then you start experiencing better condiments.
I don't want to hear
ranch
from
is
you
too
after
basic.
You just admitted to putting ketchup on your eggs. All
it's
right,
not-
you don't get to tell anybody.
Well, time out. You can't put ketchup on eggs every once in a while.
No.
Why not?
If you're going to tell someone to grow up, you can't come with that take
right. Ketchup is
that's
pretty
gross.
Good.
That is outlandish.
You are strange, and you are now considered the person on an island here.
I'm going to say, we have to, like, Cliff is the common thread in all of these
Thank
takes.
You.
I'm not saying, but I'm just saying. He's a blue cheese snob, and blue cheese people seem to sit in judgment of the rest of us over in the
Thank
ranch
you.
Community, and I don't understand it. Jhené Angola Jr. reminding you, don't forget to listen to ESPN Audio at Home via your smart speaker. ESPN Audio at Home is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz vans are ready for anything. So today we mentioned the Lakers get the win and even the series against the Rockets last night. And I was floored. Russell Westbrook, who late in that game, playing with five fouls, playing without the ability to hit a three-point shot in this game, it was impossible to keep him on the court. LeBron was going straight at him, getting him switched on defense every time. And on the other end, they were daring him to shoot. I couldn't understand putting him back on the court in that fourth quarter. So what do they do with him going forward with Chiney? Because this is the guy who's supposed to be the 1B to Harden on this team and has an MVP trophy on his mantle.
And this is the hardest part about bubble basketball. It's that what you knew before is not necessarily what you will see in the bubble. What you knew Russell Westbrook before the bubble, he was creeping in on that MVP discussion, averaging 25 and like 8. He's a great rebounding point guard. He was playing some of his best basketball since his triple-double days averaging with the Thunder. Like, this was working. And then the bubble comes, where also injury comes for him. And those are two things that have taken him out of rhythm. What people probably are just starting to realize about him is, like, we all understand his limitations, but we don't sort of factor in that just as much as things can go wrong when it comes to Russell Westbrook, things can go right. He's a ball of energy. He plays hard. He's fierce. Even in game one, you remember when he was mouthing off at I don't know who. It was in the family section, the people with the babies, like everyone, the studio. He was mouthing off after he hit that three. He showed that he was missing so many, and then he hit that one that really mattered most. And I think that's the benefit of the doubt that the Rockets, you know, D'Antoni gives to him. Also, being a former MVP, like, if you want to be on the floor, you sort of call your own shots. And D'Antoni is a player empowerment type of guy. But given the nature of last game, I think it's so hard to rationalize that, like, if you lose, you learn more from losing than going out there and winning. By being out there, he's going to have to deal with his weaknesses. He's going to have to deal with the fact that the Lakers are going to double James Harden and leave him out there and try to see if he can read the defense, try to see if he won't turn over the ball, try to see if he's going to try to shoot the three and settle for the three instead of attacking the basket, try to see if he's going to be disciplined on defense. That's the hardest way to learn a lesson, and I think that's where the coaching comes in. All right, we lost. A lot of the criticism is coming on you. What are we going to do about it? Versus, let's go out there and try to see if this wins. That's the next level operation.
The tough part with that with Michiné is this is a guy who, this has been his MO the entire time. Like, these are the same problems we were dealing with when he was with Kevin Durant in Oklahoma City. And a lot of these situations would pop up in the postseason towards the end of games on this one. And it breeds some level of frustration because you're right. We're not going to sit here and talk down like Russell Westbrook isn't some great player. We've watched him do too many great things. But the way this team operates best doesn't seem to be, at this point in time, like you said, what we're seeing in the bubble right now with him involved in key moments like this. Russell Westbrook talked after the game last night about feeling like he's running around, and you could hear him get frustrated talking last night. Here he was after the game.
Yeah, I don't know. Right now I'm just running around. So I got to look at film and figure out how to be effective.
Russ, what do you think was the cause of your turnovers tonight?
Some is my fault. Some are missed calls. But, you know, it's on me. I don't point fingers at nobody else. It's my own game. I own my mistakes. I own what I do. And that's that. I'm going to come back next time. I'll be ready to go. It's 1-1. Ain't like I played six games in this series. It's 1-1.
Chiney Engel Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and I think that's probably good advice at the end for everyone in this situation, is to look and remember that the Rockets did win game one going away, and they did erase a 21-point lead during the course of this game, and they were able to do all that. But we know and have seen a lot of these games in the bubble, because there's no home court advantage for anybody, because there's no travel time on a lot of these, it's been pretty even, and the defining moments have been more important than ever before. And how the Rockets choose to use Russ going forward is going to go a long way in deciding what looks like a very close series between two very different styles. We got a lot more on that coming up. A lot more we're hearing on Twitter from the most, I mean, are Blue Cheese fans the most judgmental group of people I've ever met in my life? It's starting to seem like that. But as we mentioned, NFL Week 1 right now.
Yes.
And a lot has happened this offseason. Hell, a lot happened over the weekend. We'll re-rack some people that got on the horse and got to some new spots and how they're going to respond this NFL season. We'll get to that next. It's Chiney Engel Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chiney Engel Jr., the podcast.
Happy Labor Day to everybody. Happy first day of Week 1. in the NFL season.
Let's go. I have a special shirt for Thursday. I'm excited.
Ooh, I was going to say, well, Thursday we were just talking about not too long ago, Deshaun Watson of the Houston Texans getting his extension with that team, the Houston Texans and the Kansas City Chiefs. Going to be the Thursday night opening game for the NFL season, the defending champs, squaring off against a team they had to come back from down double digits to beat in the playoffs. I'm assuming this shirt is very Texans-based.
Oh, yeah. I guess I spoiled it.
I mean, it wasn't going to be that hard to figure out. You've worn the Houston fandom pretty openly on this one. So
that is true. That is true.
Strong branding. Nothing wrong with that. It's Chenangola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and Sirius XM Channel 80. We got a lot going on with the NFL season. We got a lot of ranch slander to get to on the timeline. We figured out ranch versus blue cheese might be like the LeBron Jordan of condiment debates, where we've had it so many times, but every time everyone still gets angry. Like, Janae, did you guys have like a go-to debate that would set the locker room off? Because if I wanted to tick off everybody in the Notre Dame football locker room, all I had to do was walk by and make some comment about LeBron and Jordan, and I would hear arguing for the next 20 minutes. Like, was there a go-to debate in the Stanford women's basketball locker room?
Yeah, I mean, Stanford, I'm thinking about L.A. Sparks.
Oh, actually, even now that works.
Candace Parker is a big Jay-Z fan, so it's like any rapper versus Jay-Z. Like, who is better?
All right, understandable. Like, some of those all-time debates that tend to pop up in situations like this. We'll get to some tweets from the judgmental blue cheese population is something I've noticed as we look further and further.
I feel like blue cheese should be, like, more used at the ratio of, like, mustard, because everyone goes to ketchup first and then throws in the mustard to mix. Like, blue cheese is, like, the second option. It's not a first option.
So it's like the it's like the Giannis to Chris Middleton ratio.
Yeah, pretty. Like, Giannis is the ranch, but right now you need something that hits different. So, you know, you go with Chris Middleton. So yeah,
that's when you mix hot sauce in. By the way, ranchy hot sauce, elite condiment mix right there.
Well, that's naturally what happens though, because when you have the buffalo sauce on the wings plus the ranch,
correct,
magic happens.
Amazing how that would happen, Cliff, when you use the right condiment for your wings in that
cut
situation. The appropriate mix is what we're looking for this NFL season, though. We had a lot of play, and Chene, correct me if I'm wrong, but it felt like this, even to me, as dialed into football as I usually am, as much as I love college football, the NFL, without the benefit of preseason games, it just feels like we up and showed up in week one without any notice on all this.
Like, it just blows my mind that the NFL really has been flying under the radar just because sports has been back, but it came back in a hurry. NHL, WNBA, NBA, MLB, all happening and coexisting at the same time. And so now football and the offseason and training camp has come, and now there's first day of regular practice. It's Monday, and we've got a game day on Thursday, which I'm excited for.
And so we had big news, and it's been leading all the way up to this. We've seen this happen, the Deshaun Watson contract situation. But Jadeveon Clowney finally found a home this weekend here. He signed with the with the Tennessee Titans. I don't want to be a Texans fan.
You're going to stab my heart again?
The Tennessee Titans on that one. I even saw the jersey mock-up posted by their Twitter account. But it came down to them and the New Orleans Saints in the final hour. And there was some wild stuff. Our ESPN NFL insider, Mike Tannenbaum, talked about what they tried to do in moving around money in order to make this potentially happen for the Saints. Here was Mike Tannenbaum earlier on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning talking about that.
We saw that a couple of years ago with Brock Osweiler being traded from Houston to Cleveland. And basically, Zubin, what was trying to happen was another team would sign Jadeveon Clowney to a contract that included a signing bonus. When a signing bonus is paid by a team, they pay the cash. That amount of money hits their salary cap. He has to be on your roster for 24 hours, and then you could trade that player. When you trade that player, if that player has guaranteed money, that guaranteed money would travel from Team A to Team B. So apparently what was going on was, since the Saints didn't have that extra salary cap room, some other team would absorb the initial salary cap hit and then trade the rest of the contract. And then presumably what was reported, the Saints would have given up a second round pick for the first team to absorb part of the contract. Very creative. It's been done to a certain extent in the past. I don't know exactly where things broke down. I know the league office, generally speaking, doesn't like teams to trade picks for cap room because that goes against the fundamental idea of what the system's about. Those are hard deals to get done because you have to get a deal done with the agent and the other team. So it's creative, it's interesting, but ultimately, you know, he turned out to be a Titan.
Chenangle Jr. here on ESPN Radio. This reminds me so much of the movie Semi-Pro when they throw the first alley-oop in a game and Jackie Moon tosses that up and the refs just blow it dead because they're like, you're not supposed to be able to do that. I don't understand, as he pointed out, why the situation wasn't able to work out, because Chenangle, it sounds very familiar to what you're used to in basketball, sign and trade. Like, this is day one stuff for the basketball leagues.
Yeah, and it's more so like rare when it's done with the player of this caliber that can really change the course of a franchise, like Jadeveon Clowney, especially defensively. But I feel bad because I've never watched Semi-Pro. I don't know if that is bad for me, but
You know what, like, I'm not, that's one, and I'm not generally into shaming people for not having seen movies, because like, I've never seen Hoosiers, and I have no plans to. Like,
I haven't seen that either.
I don't want to watch a movie about people passing. Like, it's not interesting.
Oh, that's a hot take. I need to, as a part of the basketball community, watch this. But I was so, like, I was in the generation of Coach Carter and, you know, love and basketball, but I do need to, you know, reclaim my time. But yeah, Clowney, I think it's interesting, especially considering, like, he said he's wanted to be on a contender. And you know, it's funny because we talk about movement and players, especially even now with Giannis. Like, you get that itch, you know, around a certain time. I think Giannis, didn't we say he's 25 years old?
Yep.
Okay, I'm looking for Clowney. What's his age?
Clowney might be up there a little bit more at this point. Clowney's story has been interesting. 27 years old.
But around the same time, like Anthony Davis, 25, 26, 27, you start thinking about where do you want to be, where do you want to compete. And now with Tennessee, we started and we've talked all the time about Texas, but considering Vrabel and his experience there, you know, with the Texans, the relationship is there. You have another good guy on offense that can run through walls. So, like, It makes sense, but I do like the effort that the Saints tried, because it's like, look, we understand this man's value and we're willing to try to finesse. My question to you is, should this really be looked down upon from an NFL standpoint to the point where they're like, nah, this can't happen? Or do you think this would actually be more interesting to try to figure out ways in the future for players to move a little bit more freely?
I'm not going to lie, I didn't hear anything you just said, because Devin was in my ear talking about the Marlins won. Did the Marlins win some game, Devin?
Yeah, the Marlins beat the Braves 5-4, so we welcome in that audience who's listening to that game.
All right, there we go. Perfect. Welcome to that audience. It's Chenangle Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. If you're asking about the prospect of a sign-and-trade, potentially something like this, Chenangle?
Yes, in the NFL.
I think teams should be allowed to explore creative options to make their team better. I think the Saints are a very unique example, and we're getting ready to talk to Mina Kimes in a second, who made one of the greater comparisons to them basically in such a strapped cap situation that they're trying to open up a Best Buy card to pay off their card from the Gap to pay off their credit card bill right now, because they're so deep in it. Because they're pushed so far to the limit because they are trying to win now. But I guess all of this for me is just a reminder, as we look at players like Jadeveon Clowney on the move, that this offseason that, again, came to an abrupt end is one that has been marked by player movement on this one. We know Tom Brady and Phillip Rivers wearing different uniforms, Cam Newton in New England, Nick Foles losing a battle to Mitchell Trubisky in Chicago in that quarterback spot. But like Teddy Bridgewater getting his chance to be a full-time starter again going into week one with the down in Charlotte with the Carolina Panthers is going to be an interesting one to watch. We know about DeAndre Hopkins going over to Arizona, Stephon Diggs going to Buffalo, but Brandon Cooks back, you know, on the Texans roster, that former first-round pick moving yet again in this situation, Emmanuel Sanders going to the New Orleans Saints that we just talked about there. And then the running back situation that we saw. Yeah, Leonard Fournette and Adrian Peterson on the move this weekend. But Todd Gurley plays in Atlanta now. David Johnson went from the Cardinals, we know in that situation, to the Texans. And then Melvin Gordon has a chance for a revenge game, I believe, early on in this season as the Denver Broncos now break him out to go against the Chargers back there. So it's just a good reminder that we've had so much happen under the NFL hood this offseason, and we get to all check in on it starting again Thursday when the Texans take on the Chiefs. But coming up next, we'll hit on all of that and find out where our own Mina Kimes falls in the ranch and blue cheese debate. We'll do all that next on Chenangle Jr.
Chenangle and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We got important questions getting ready for NFL Week 1 to kick off Thursday night, Texans-Chiefs. We're all excited. It feels a little bit different. And so, to get us
Labor
ready
Day
for
music,
that.
Sorry, the Labor Day vibes here.
Just too much? Too much for you right now?
Yeah, it is. Overwhelmed, but we need more. We need more.
Overwhelmed. Let's keep the good vibes going. It's Chenangle Jr. here on ESPN Radio, and we are delighted to welcome our ESPN NFL analyst, Mina Kimes, on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line with the new Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. And I want to ask Mina important questions about football, but first, Mina, we're having the age-old debate of ranch or blue cheese, and it's devolved into this question for me to you. Are blue cheese stands the most judgmental group of people on earth?
No, because I don't feel like it's regional, right? Like, the most judgmental food people are the ones who are like, well, Kansas City barbecue, everything else is unacceptable. Like, that kind of person is worse than a blue cheese person, which is more just a general taste thing.
Oh my gosh, is that me? Because I'm totally that barbecue person that comes and defends Carl's Barbecue in Cypress, Texas, and says the hole-in-the-wall barbecue. Sorry, let me stop myself. Hey, Mina.
Hey, yeah, you might be that person. It kind of sounds like me. You are.
It's better that you realize that now we accept it and we have it out in the open. That being said, Mina, I didn't even ask you, are you a ranch or a blue cheese person?
Oh, blue cheese, all the way. Oh. That might have influenced my answer.
Oh no.
Oh, see, I can say that's, you know what? Shame on me, the poor interview here, not getting to the lead before getting to the follow-up question here. I just assumed that you had good taste and would have picked ranch, Mina. But that's neither here nor
Cliff
there.
Cliff with a point.
I know.
Dang
it. I hate giving him that satisfaction right now. All right, Mina, let's try and get back on track and get something a little more amicable here. We're all excited for Thursday night. Chiefs-Texans in this situation. And, Mina, I know Deshaun Watson gets the deal over the weekend, and everyone is so happy. Seems like someone who all around was an easy decision to pay. But looking towards that game, what do we realistically expect for game one of NFL football, especially between these two teams?
Well, hopefully a shootout, which would be the best-case scenario for Houston, and why, despite the fact that I think the Chiefs are a much better football team, I'm picking them to win the Super Bowl, I think this could actually be an interesting game, because you know, as much grief as the Texans have gotten for trading DeAndre Hopkins for a bag of chips and some of the decisions they've made over there, nobody's giving them grief for paying Deshaun, of course, that was a no-brainer, and as much doubt as that defense rightfully deserves, this is still an explosive offense. And you got a healthy Will Fuller, which has always been the variable that seems to determine the Texans' success over the last few years. In week one, I don't doubt that while Kansas City can and should win this game, Deshaun Watson and company can keep pace with them.
Now, Mina, news of the day also, we saw a wild sign-and-trade attempt by the Saints for Jadeveon Clowney, but obviously he landed in Tennessee. Do you think there's something there? Because you know me and my NBA blood. Do you think that there's something there for the NFL to really start reconsidering when it comes to these type of plays by teams to try to snag top players?
You know, it's good that you mentioned the NBA, because when Cleveland basically did this with Brock Osweiler, acquiring him because they wanted picks and didn't really care about cap space at the time. Many people asked, oh, wow, is the NFL headed towards, an NBA-like future where they are using players more as assets and basically trading contracts to get draft capital? And the NFL apparently says no, because they seem to think that this attempt, and it wasn't, by the way, we're hearing also that the Ravens and Jaguars also looking to doing something similar. The Ravens would have gotten the player, the Jags would have gotten the picks. The NFL seems to have thought it was too blatant, right? Because Osweiler at least stuck around the team for a hot second. In this case, whichever team acquired Jadeveon would have immediately moved him, making it very blatant. I personally, by the way, am all for it. I have no objection to these sorts of shenanigans. Just because they make good teams more interesting and allow rebuilding teams to rebuild better.
Our ESPN NFL analyst, Mina Kimes, with us here on Chenan Golic Jr. You can catch her as a part of the new NFL lineup that has been crushing it on NFL Live this fall. Mina, sticking with Clowney and the Titans, let's go there. Obviously a team that sees itself as a contender yet again after a strong run through last year's postseason. What are we getting nowadays? For Clowney, so many people are still always going to see the hit from back in college, see the player with all the twitch and ability. What are the Titans actually getting in 2020 from Jadeveon Clowney?
Well, the hit from college is, of course, one of the greatest college football moments. But as recently as last year, Jadeveon Clowney took over a game against San Francisco in prime time, and in that moment looked like the best football player on earth, and that's what you get from him. You get these flashes of just incredible, disruptive brilliance. And then these games where he doesn't disappear, that would be inaccurate to say, but he doesn't really bring the pass-rushing productivity you want out of an edge guy, and I think that's why he wasn't able to command the sort of top-of-market contract he apparently wanted. That said, he's still very disruptive, and he's still very good at beating his blocks. Our pass rush win rate reflects that. And he's still a very, very good run defender. And in Tennessee, he joined a team that desperately needed him. I mean, when you look at this team top to bottom, the glaring hole, similarly to Seattle, was the pass rush. And, you know, they're hoping that the combination of him, a second year out of Jeffrey Simmons on the inside, and then Harold Landry on the other side, can give them something more, a better pressure percentage than they got last year.
All right, Mina, everything starts on Thursday. We're so excited for the NFL to be back. But what are you looking forward to? Because you have one of the best eyes in the game, and you always find the stories behind the stories. What are you looking forward to as things kick off starting on Thursday?
Well, you know, beyond that game, probably the most anticipated matchup of the weekend, I feel comfortable saying this, is Bucs-Saints, right? Because these are divisional rivals, but they're two of the best teams in the NFL. And everyone's going to be watching to see how Tom Brady looks in that new Bucs offense. He has a ton of firepower to work with, how his style meshes with Grisarian style. But I'm also very curious to see how Drew Brees looks because, you know, we seem to have forgotten the Saints lost to Minnesota, and he looked terrible towards the end of the season. And this is a basically top to bottom one of the deepest teams in the NFL, which is why a lot of people do have them making the Super Bowl. It, to me, it all, the only, I think, real concern I have about this team is Drew Brees going to look like the Drew Brees we saw at the end of last season? We know his arm strength has declined, but he's still so accurate in the short and intermediate levels. Or is it going to look like the Drew Brees we saw the rest of the year?
Big question certainly hanging in the balance in that quarterback room in New Orleans. But, Mina, the biggest question in the NFL right now happens to be living inside the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback room. Shout out to our Steelers reporter, Brooke Pryor, for putting these connections together. But apparently, Josh Dobbs, who's been brought back to Pittsburgh, and Mason Rudolph have both, on separate occasions this offseason, apparently been spotted with former Bachelor alum Hannah A. Mina, how do we reconcile this? Is this going to be the most shocking and controversial season for Pittsburgh yet?
Liz, I wish I – that was a great segue, Mike. I could have set you up better because I was actually going to say I'm interested in seeing Big Ben, because if Big Ben looks like his old self, the Steelers team should be in Super Bowl contention as well. But you seamlessly brought us to the most important NFL story of the weekend, which is just remarkable, really. What are the odds? It's actually – dare I say, almost NBA-like. It's something we don't really see happen that often in the NFL. And I love it, and I respect it. And I, every little sideline interaction, I will be watching with an eagle eye.
Well, and as you put on Twitter, the only way to solve this is for Mike Tomlin to take them on a two-on-one date. So we'll see who gets the rose in that quarterback situation, and we'll see. Maybe we'll hand out roses after this weekend to NFL top performance, because there's going to be some exciting matchups that Mina mentioned. Mina, we appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you
soon.
Thanks, Mina. Bye, guys.
Our ESPN NFL analyst, Mina Kimes, you can check her out on NFL Live, as well as download the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny podcast wherever you get your podcast. All right, we had two shocking ejections this weekend. Which one of them floored you more? And we will return to the Twitter timeline to defend Ranch's honor against the likes of apparently Mina Kimes as well. We'll get to that next. It's Chin Angle Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Extreme Labor Day vibes hitting on the show today as we're at work, which is cool. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You know what, Janae, it was interesting. In all of this going on, we've been battling about ranch and blue cheese now for what feels like the last hour around here. Mm-hmm. And the tweets that have come in on that have been vicious. Again, I contend that blue cheese fans are some of the most, I'll say it, just condescending people I've ever come across. It's amazing. The tweets I got here, because Janae, you and I are both very pro-ranch. We understand that it's a gateway condiment. It allows you to see the rest of the larger world of condiments as you go along. Mike Krajewski tweets in, "Only a heathen thinks ranch is acceptable over blue cheese when buffalo chicken wings are being served. I feel bad for your soul." John Solomon says, "If you're going to use ranch, you might as well eat those little dinosaur-shaped nuggets. Ranch is such an elementary condiment. First of all, dino nuggets are delicious.
Classic.
And if you're going to act like you're better than those, then be my guest, but you're lying to yourself and you're lying to me."
Random question. When's the last time you ate a Lunchable?
Inside this year.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I was just wondering, you know, just trying to see if we're vibing the same way. At the Forbulous One, I grew up in New York, went to college in Buffalo. Love that. It's blue cheese all day. Maybe one or two wings would get a ranch dip, but it wasn't necessary. The ratio was crazy.
It was wild. I'm unsure. So you know what? 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. I need people to state their case one way or the other for ranch or for blue cheese.
I also need people. I need to know what type of person you are at the cookout, because I know who I am. I am the auntie that is dancing to music, as you heard earlier, doing a two-step, already have about five plates in the car before people have eaten so that I can eat in peace, knowing that I have leftovers ready to go for the next. Not even, what am I talking about leftovers? It's food for the entire next week. Like, that's lunch you're taking into work. That's midnight snack. I am that one, the one that'll vibe on the dance floor with a plate in my hand. And you know how you're like, it's funny, growing up, your parents are always like, don't dance. Like, don't dance for food. Don't be happy for food. When you're an adult, like, that's a total different vibe.
Don't be happy for food? In what world? How else am I supposed to live?
If my parents served us food and I was like, you know how, like, you're a kid, you're like, oh, yum, 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 yum. You're like, sit doing the happy dance. I'm like, don't dance for food. Like,
I dance for food when no one's around. I watch it in my microwave and I stare longingly, lovingly, hopingly at it.
Who are you at the cookout?
I am overserved.
Okay, so like, what's your vibe at the cookout, though?
Overserved.
So, like, what does that mean? Explain.
It means I've been overserved.
Oh, my
God. I'm there to have a good time and enjoy myself. Usually people come up with special drink concoctions at those, and I want to celebrate and reward those instances. And so, like, you know, I have a lot of fun, and it leads to me dancing a lot and me holding court a fair amount. Like, I like to think I'm a party starter, the same way, and we've talked about this, that I am at weddings, Chiné. I want to be a reason for everyone to get up and move. I want to be a reason for people that might not have talked otherwise to all of a sudden engage in discussions together. So I feel like I'm going to be a party starter. And
you're the glue.
I just need to be overserved.
Okay, I'm here for that. You know, always watch out for the
Drink responsibly, obviously. Like, that's not like, what we're talking about in this
situation.
Watch
out for the party punch, though. Like, the party punch is what's dangerous. You have to trust the people making it.
Oh, listen, and that's a very key element to this. You're right. You have to make sure everyone is doing that there. In all seriousness, like, to have a few drinks and just invite the conversation. That is who I really am at the cookout.
Okay.
So, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got one right now, Devin. We got one that's ready to go here. All right, Kyle in Las Vegas, you're on Chiné and Golic Jr. here. I need to know right here and right now, state your case either for ranch or for blue cheese, Kyle.
Blue cheese all day. The creaminess, the tanginess, the zip of the blue cheese, the pepperiness, the spice, the vinegar of the hot wing, of the buffalo. It is a unison, all right? It is a marriage. It's perfect. It's beautiful. That is why blue cheese was invented, when they made buffalo wings from Richmond.
Wow. All right, Kyle, coming strong. And I'm pretty sure he just made up a word. Was that butimus I saw in there? I don't even know if that's a real word or not.
I'm a little concerned. Like, now I'm wondering, was Cliff right?
No,
Are we in the wrong?
Well, here's why we're
Ranch
not wrong.
Ranch Dance, come out. Ranch Dance, call us. What is it? 1-888-SAY-ESPN?
Yeah.
Call. Ranch Dance, defend the honor. We're here trying our best, but it seems like blue cheese, they with the ish.
So, listen, I understand the passion. And here's why, Chiné, we're living on the right side of history on this. Because we've never said that blue cheese is an incorrect choice when it comes to this. Merely that both should be allowed without the judgment that blue cheese tends to cast on this one. All right, we got quick time for one more. Let's go to Steven in North Carolina. Steven, you're on Chiné and Golic Jr. Blue cheese or ranch? State your case.
Oh, it is ranch. It is definitely ranch. If you're a ranch or a blue cheese lover at all, it's buttermilk is your favorite thing. You just add blue cheese to ranch and you got ranch dressing.
Ooh, see? Reminder, buttermilk in this situation. He is
also
up.
Like, why are we limiting? Why are we so one-dimensional talking about wings? When it goes to other things like pizza, we go ranch. When it goes to vegetables, we go ranch. When it goes to salad, we go ranch. Ranch is ultimately versatile. It's butimus.
See, and this is what I'm talking about here. It's the universal solvent. It's the perfect teammate. It can walk into any locker room and immediately go into it. Yeah, it might not be Bo Jackson, the best at both sports when it comes to what it does, but it can do it all. It's like a heptathlete of condiments in this situation, and so that's the kind of versatility we love.
Thank you. If you have ranch on a plate, it's not going to be like, oh, it touched something else. You're like, oh, yeah, kind of different on everything else. You put blue cheese on a plate, you're like, oh. Like, oh.
makes everything it touches better. We're going to keep it going. 888-SAY-ESPN if you want to weigh in on the great debate that is taking over here now. But we have to weigh in on a great moment that we saw this weekend on College Game Day here on Chenango Jr.